Good. All right. Good evening. Good evening, everyone, commissioners. I'd like to call to order our September 15th Recreation and Parks Commission meeting. Let's do a call to order. Munoz.
Present.
Crowley.
Present.
Sedaris.
Present.
Romero.
Present.
Ayub.
Present.
And let it be noted that Bates is excused this evening. Do we have any commissioner reports, presentations, or announcements for this evening?
I'd like to announce that the Morro Bay Pool Community Pool Foundation has a community gathering coming up on Saturday, this Saturday at the Vets Hall here, from 1:30 to 3. So if you love swimming and you'd like to see more of it, or if you're into lap swimming or a family that likes to recreate in the pool, please come down and support the cause. There's going to be a free barbecue hot dog and some chips and guacamole in keeping with the Avocado Festival Day. That's the other thing that's going on, right, is the Avocado Festival, the Chamber, Morro Bay Chamber is putting on. And I believe that starts at 11. And there's also the Harbor Festival, right, it's coming up October 1st and 2nd. So there's a lot of really fun things coming up, and we hope to see you there.
Thank you. Other comments, Vince? Okay. Great. So we'll turn it over to the public comment period, and we're looking for any members in the audience who might be wishing to address the commission this evening on any matters other than public hearing, which we don't have tonight. Anyone? Seeing no one standing up at the podium. I assume we will close public comment period and move on to our consent calendar. So, do any commissioners want to pull any items, A1, approval of our minutes from July, A2, our citizens' reports and correspondence, A3, the youth services, sports and fitness, and facility and park use summaries for both July and August, or A4, the Recreation and Parks Department status update?
We're anticipating, you know, between 30 and 45 days of the bidding process and then documents, so you're 2 months out, and then realistically you're 2 to 3 months of construction. So it's still feasible to get this thing off the ground this year. I'm hoping we can break ground and get this accomplished before major rains come in. You have an aquatic center meeting of the pool folks, as Commissioner Crowley has said, this Saturday here. The master fee schedule has been increased by the CPI, and it's basically most of your permits are adjusted $1 or $2. You know about youth soccer, and we'll touch base on some other programs a little bit later. Labor Day tournament was huge, 24 teams, 22 from out of the county. So we definitely filled up hotels and restaurants. Local team, oh yeah, two local teams that participated in Henson's Tire won it all first place, which is just outstanding performance. And we also had a member from their team win the Home Run Derby, which is totally incredible. So big shout out to Henson's Tire for participating and winning the tournament, which is a lot of competition. And then the last two I would bring your attention to would be on the final page, page 3, the Teen Advisory Committee. They continue to meet. They've adopted Lida Kaiser Park, as you know. They'll be providing community service at the upcoming Harbor Festival. Also, they've been working with the Senior Citizens Incorporated on their special events. So they've been really getting out there in the public. They've been at Dahlia Days, and a list goes on and on. But keep your eye out on them, because these kids are really trying to make a difference, and they're putting in a lot of hours to let the community know that they are grateful for the digs, the teen center, which is Rockies, which has been incredible. Our city website at our Recreation and Parks Department has changed a bit. We have added tennis opportunities on the recommendation of Commissioner Romero. And if you get a chance, go to our website. You look underneath. I believe it's under activities, and it's tennis opportunities. And basically we give you where the tennis courts are in Morro Bay, in Los Osos, and in Cayucas. And then some times where the county has some lessons and the times that our department has lessons. And we've have quite a bit of a large lesson offering right now through our new instructor. So make sure that if you want to play tennis, you're out there and you know there's not going to be a conflict. And we always leave one court open for the general public to come in and play. And the part of our tennis opportunities also includes the Surfside Tennis Club that provide doubles and opportunities in Los Osos at those courts. And it's more of a mix. And our emphasis was to be tennis opportunities in the Estero Bay and really connecting Los Osos, Morro Bay, and Cayucas, like we do with our soccer and our other programs that we have. So we thought that was essential, and I think it's noteworthy for those that are seeking, you know, just tennis in general. It's not just limited to what we have here. So that concludes my summary. If there's anything I missed or any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Can I accept, get a motion to accept a 1 through a 4 profile?
Yeah, I'll make that motion to accept that.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Item B, public hearing. Yes, we do. We have a public hearing this evening to review the very exciting Central Coast Women's for Fisheries sculpture proposal for Target Rock, which we all got in our packages tonight. And so we're going to look forward to hearing some more developments around this new proposal.
Thank you, Chair Hale. Commission, good evening again. This item was brought to you on the, I think it was late 07, and 08 was reviewed by Commission. And late in your packet this evening, I gave you a copy of the concept plan that was presented to you in 2008 to review. Right now, the reason why we reviewed that back in 08, it was a concept plan tied to the Northern Embarcadero Coleman Park Improvement Project, which we were working with the harbor on. Remember the workshops we did there. So the Central Coast Women for Fisheries were very, very dedicated in getting a project out at Target Rock. They needed to fundraise, and the concept plan was essential for them to go out and market and campaign their efforts for fundraising. They have submitted an application to Central Coast Women for Fisheries to donate a fisherman's family sculpture to the city of Morro Bay. The application has met the city manager's criteria, which I have presented to you in public art policy on your second page, third page. It is now presented to this advisory board for your recommendation. So basically, I started with a little bit of history. Her name is Elizabeth McQueen. Elizabeth McQueen, and she has her artist statement there dated from 1999. Really, it sounds like a terrific artist and a lot of work in her portfolio, without a doubt. The value of this particular art donation is estimated at, it includes installation, $107,000. We do ask for if there's any special care or maintenance for the sculpture of the art. And there is. It's really basic. It's recommended that it's use a simple car wax twice to four times a year. So as we know that there is going to be maintenance on this particular art, access to the art will be essential. And as we look at the site and how this component is combined with other components that are at the Target Rock, which is a concept plan still, is something that we really want to fish out. And we'll probably be really going through the details in the next few months if council gets a hold of it and says, yes, we really want to push this and start master planning, which will be back at our table for workshops. Just a side note, I didn't mean to digress. The location of the art donation is going to be at Target Rock, the recreational area, and you'll see it in the concept plan that you have. Both the Target Rock and Coleman Park, we know, need to be master planned. And we have started some designs, if you recall, from Cal Poly students. And that Target Rock area was a very passive, kind of a dedicated area that we've talked about before. Not a lot of structures, not a lot of, you know, playing fields, if you will, like basketball court at Coleman, a little bit more passive down at Target Rock area. So a sculpture like this, staff feels that it is appropriate, and that's why the concept plan went, and that's why you're reviewing this detail now. We will have to have some more input and some more answers to some questions about how it fits in and what kind of improvements will need to take place if we're not developing the whole park at one time. So if it goes into stages and there's components, what would be tied to this particular component to make the overall space functional and then also adaptable and expandable, if you will. So basically, I added some minutes to show you that when this was reviewed, and you have some details in a letter from the Central Coast Women for Fisheries that tells you that the female, adult female, is approximately 5.5 feet tall, and the young girl is about the size of a 2-year-old girl, and the young boy is about the size of a 7-year-old boy. And you look at the concept plan that we had given you from 08, it does have a sculpture of the family more on one pedestal, the baby's being held and the other child's holding on to the dress, similar to that. This is a more modern family, obviously. I won't get into all the explanations of why it is, because I'm not the artist, but there is, I understand, a miniature version of these figurines being developed, and we would ask the applicant to the donors of the public art to maybe make a comment on that at public comment. That'll be good. So you'll have miniatures that come through before they make the large sculptures, and then how is it mounted? And the mounting should bring up some questions. I understand that there are rods that would come down, and then they would be set into some kind of a base unit or a foundation. And the reason why I gave you all the other concepts tonight, the other stuff, so you can understand that the waterfront master plan of that area really emphasizes the congestion and parking, and that a turnaround is essential. And we also noted that in our concept plan. So before the state park gate property, we want to have a turnaround there. And I'm speculating that part of this art donation would have some improvements tied to it, such as that turnaround at that area and possibly some parking in that area, which would probably satisfy that component of our master plan of Target Rock, and then we could add from there. I couldn't see trying to go back and do road and parking after the structure's there, because I think we'll be asking for trouble. But I could be overruled. We'll be reviewing this at Harbor Advisory Board, as well as the Planning Commission, and City Council will have another go at it as well. So there's some other folks that will be looking at this. So with that, I will conclude my staff report and be available for questions now and through the public hearing. Thank you.
Joe, can you repeat that? I think I lost the last piece where you talked about the sculpture being tied in with a potential turnaround in the master plan.
This monument or sculpture, just for access and just as we get the project rolling.
Okay, so proximity to the turnaround area was kind of what you're tying this in.
We may end up going full-on master planning, and the whole thing is one big project. The timeline right now, as I understand it, that the sculptures are and supposed to be ready closer to December 2012. Is that right?
Spring 2012
is the target date. So for completion, and then installation is some details that we had to work on through this process. So the proximity is what I was looking at, and if you're going to do something at this magnitude, we would want to supplement and make sure that we're doing it right, part of a big plan, that it all fits together. It's one component that's going to link to several other components that may not be developed at the same time. And similar to what happens at the tennis courts and the dog park. It was the cart before the horse, but we had no choice. We had funding. We had resources. We went ahead with the dog park. Now we're backtracking with the tennis courts, even though logically it would have been better the other way around. Sometimes you have to go with it. Any other questions?
Yes, in this area here, because I see where the turnabout is, right now they're just parking randomly, you know, in different sections. I think what stops the vehicles to go any closer to the water is huge boulders. Is there going to be a parking lot per se, or is it going to normally stay just the way it is, the dirt where you park?
I've got a couple of different answers. To make it simple for tonight, this is an art donation for this particular site. Now, I would love to see us develop and go full-on park development here, but I don't think we're ready for that. What I'm saying is that we may be ready to introduce with this some road improvements, some parking improvements at this location to help satisfy this component to get it running, and then we can continue in that stage of the game to continue the master planning. So it's not essential. It's not something that you're going to vote on. It's a recommendation by staff saying, I think this is logical that we would want to do this. To keep that in mind, as you know, we are master planners at the park, and we want to make sure that we're satisfying this community's needs and desires to what goes on out there. So I just think it's logical. So no, it's not part of this. Parking is not part of your decision. Part of your decision is this art acceptable? Is it go along with what we thought we were going to be getting out there? Does it satisfy the needs of any of the stakeholders that we can think of and represent? And I think if you get through that, then you can make a strong recommendation to council to either approve this or disapprove this or approve it with conditions or the like.
No other questions? Anybody have another question? Okay, so we're going to open it up for a public hearing. So please feel free to come up and...
Do you have any further questions?
And maybe you can announce your name. And
I'm sorry, Susan Meharry, Central Coast Women for Fisheries. Okay. Kathy Moore, Central Coast Women for Fisheries.
Great.
I don't know if we've addressed, you know, generally about how large an area this could take. This can be on two separate areas, or if it's going to be a center of a turnaround, it could be grouped also. So it does have, at this point, options for how it will actually be, you know, put on the base. The base can be round, it can be rectangular, there can be two of them. We still have quite a few options. She'll be... doing the bronze sculptures, they're only going to have these 6-inch rods, steel rods coming out from their feet area, and those can be mounted on however, you know, whatever type of design seems to fit with that area in this project. So,
could you tell us about the figurines and that process?
They're called officially maquettes. We're learning a lot along with this process. They are about a quarter size of the original, and at first she did them in clay, and we looked at them, approved the concept. She is now having them cast in bronze, and as a fundraiser, we're also having them available to raise funds toward this project also. But we will have a set of them probably late October.
Yeah.
We thought it important to, you know, work with somebody that was local. She did the work out at the railroad station, the Chinese workers, the sculpture there. Downtown by the theater, downtown cinema, she did Puck, that's the dancing guy that's there. And at one of the local schools,
the Laureate School,
she has a series of children. That concept probably closely follows what we wanted here, because the children are just pretty much on the ground. You know, the bases are very low or hidden into the ground. And that's what really drew us, is the idea of the children that she does. So, that answer your question?
Yeah, no, just...
Okay.
Yeah. Is there some sort of plaque or signage that explains what this is? Because it's kind of modern, so I mean, if they're on a widow's walk or something, you might think fisherman's family, but looking mm-hmm. at this, I mean, it could be anybody's family.
We will have some. They'll be on a bronze platform and then on a cement platform, but this probably won't be more than, you know, 6-9 inches, and then most of it will be underground to secure it. Mm-hmm. And in that area, we've tossed around several ideas of having the placard, having donor, you know, tiles, something mm-hmm. like that. Maybe they could extend out to the walkway that's going to be out there. So, you know, there's some ideas like that that can be
okay. Thank you.
Done that would explain it.
So is that kind of the basic idea of what you're going to have is the, not exactly like what's pictured here, but something similar with like a mother and a daughter. And then the son would be on a rock adjacent to them, probably on one platform,
yes. mm-hmm.
depending on the turnaround and where it's going to be. Yeah. So you think it's something like that? Right.
But separate, yeah.
And then would you be working with the Central Coast Women Fisheries, or are you part of them too for maintenance, like for someone to go out and wax it and
I think once we get
come later?
To the city, then they're responsible for the maintenance. We'd certainly be able to help out. It's not a big job to
right.
put some wax on it. So, yeah, mm-hmm. certainly. It could be a community effort or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
And I had a question.
If we do complete it on schedule, we're, you know, in the process of raising funds. We've raised about half that's needed. Will we be able to install it without the rest of the project done?
That's going to be a question for staff, so thank you. That was the purpose of the component illustration, that this is a component of this particular park development, and if it's the first component, could it be standalone?
Right.
And if it needs to be standalone, we need to design the site so it is standalone. And that's why I went into this turnaround and the parking, because I think that eventually, in any kind of development, that's going to have to happen. And I think it's better to happen now to help facilitate the component that you're wishing to install. And so can it all happen? It should all happen at the same time. There may be, I'm not going to sugarcoat it, there may be a waiting period when you have bronze statues ready to go in and the site might not be prepared at that exact moment. And then we'd have to have, you know, the time of a time frame where, okay, now we're going to do this and then this will happen. And so it's going to be a project that has a timeline that would help facilitate this particular component. So add one more question, that the diagram here has the figurines on dirt, mm-hmm. and they have the boy figurine on an existing rock. The concept that we had in 08, it was more of a plaza type of a format where you had walkways, all concrete, there was benching, and there was planters with flowers, and then there was a center sculpture of the one we talked about, the women, the family. Is that plaza still part of your concept? Are you looking to really go into not a whole lot of stuff around it, just there's the base and you're going to walk up to it and the rest of it's a natural area?
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, maybe that, if that's your concept, great, we're going to have to try to sustain that throughout the rest of the development of the park, whereas if it's in a plaza area, if it's a standalone, we'll be able to, you know what I'm talking
yeah.
about?
Yeah.
So I guess if you're looking to put that boy figurine on an existing rock, we need to know that so we can review it and say, hey, we like that, or that's not going to work at all.
Right.
And we may say we love it, and the Planning Commission says there's no way you can do that.
Right.
And if it's a maintenance element, I'm going to have a maintenance person get down on the rocks to handle that particular figurine, and that may constitute a little bit more resources that may or may not be available. So I'm just wondering if it's more of a natural setting where it hangs over in the sand. So something like that may work for you.
Yeah.
Instead of getting into that area of revetment, we create our own, which would kind of recreate what's right there.
Yeah.
That would work. Okay.
So I mean, it sounds like the decision around the boy sitting on a rock is kind of an important one.
I think it is.
The position of the boy, if he's not going to be on a rock, you know, I'd imagine you'd,
well,
he would be.
If he's not on an existing rock, he'll be on
a man-made rock.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll look like a rock. You'll still have that kind of scene.
I was taking it very literally, like, yeah. Hey, that's one of our rocks.
The artist would like to have him on that rock, but I know that that's probably.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So ideally, that's what you want, but whether we can deliver that through our processes, yeah. It may be different. So I want to make sure we had another option. Yeah. Cool. Thank you.
You have to.
What we presented to you in 2008, if that was the year, I can't recall, 2009, that was the Gloucester Mass Monument. And that was just as an example of, you know, the figures and what we're trying to show you, you know, what they would sort of look like. Just the idea, really. Not really that barricade around, and we don't want that kind of look. We want it more natural, like they're actually standing there and waving. Goodbye.
But that's why I gave you the both of those to look at, so you can see the concept that you had before is totally different,
yes.
And that's fine. But I just want, in my mind, I was visualizing what we saw before, and then this was different. So I just wanted to adjust and make sure that the commission understood why I did that, and you could adjust and form an opinion from there.
We'd also have to think about how close that is to the water and edge for safety liability reasons, because you know some little child's going to want to. Go up there and sit next to him, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to think
Which
about
kids
that.
Do already. They're
yeah.
already on the rocks so. Hanging and climbing down. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, it'll certainly create a Kodak location that they're going to want to take some pictures mm-hmm. there. And so I think that we need to make sure that we account for that so it isn't a dangerous situation for folks to take that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Have you given thought to our wildlife and bird? I mean, is this... You know, do we have any sense of whether this is going to be, you know, birds flocking and hanging out on their head 24/7, or, you know, they're covered in white? I mean, is that? I'm just curious if you extra cleaning. They look great right now, but
yeah.
I mean, is that a? I guess you're probably in the best position, being the city guy that. You know, deals with all this kind of stuff. What's your?
They would be limited to where they're going to be landing. They don't. From my understanding, seagulls don't grab, they land flat. So if there's areas to land on, they're more apt to land on them.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that there isn't, I mean, this is just the top of the sculpture is really maybe an arm or two. So I don't think it lends itself to a major perching spot for
Except
birds.
Except for the little kid's arm right there. I think that's the spot.
We get them, you know.
You have to put a big sign, do not
feed
the birds.
Keep them away.
Yeah,
that's good. I mean, we just increased the cleaning of it, but I think that it's inevitable with the location and the type of figurines that you're having. And the trash cans are flat; they're very inviting for the birds, and we have a problem there now that we're looking to address. But this one, I think that it's going to be what it is, and I don't think you can put, you know. Bird X on the top with big spikes. I don't think you could do wire around it. I don't think really the practicality of putting some bird deterrence on it really wouldn't work. So I think you're going to have what you have.
Yeah, I wouldn't suggest that. I just was curious if there's given, you know, we thought about that in terms of, I guess it's an inevitability if it is, right?
Didn't think about that much, really. That's a good point.
Cool. In a public hearing still.
Yes, still public hearing, okay.
My only comment to those, I'm familiar with that area, and it's pretty bumpy. There's a lot of, like, parts of boulders sticking up.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel the whole area should probably be addressed and cleaned up and graded first, because you're going to be encouraging more people to pull in there. And there are a lot of rocks sticking up. But we've talked about that before. It's kind of a rough area on that left side of the road. But there would be nothing. There would be nothing to keep people from walking right up to them, right? They just, you
know. It's okay. Near the benches. It's right in that area where the benches are right now.
Okay. So I'd be afraid somebody might bump into it with their car by accident or something.
Yeah. Well.
Now, if there's a chance.
Yeah, there's always a chance.
But maybe we put a curb, you know, 10 feet away or something to discourage
maybe
that.
Maybe that's where we place some boulders or something to, you know, right there.
Okay.
And that would be, if that's part of your recommendation, then you might want to make sure you have consensus from the commission. But then again, it comes back to that parking, and then when you're going to invite folks out to your particular area, we're going to have to accommodate for them. And right now, it is a free-for-all. Mm-hmm. And some kind of a vehicle deterrent is going to be necessary. And how that looks is just a ring of boulders probably is not what...
Go to the Harbor Festival and present this and show it to other people.
Uh-huh.
And
yes,
that would be one way of raising...
Yeah, we'll be there. We have a booth all set up, ready
great
to go. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a great idea.
Yeah,
this
I wish we had our Maquette. We just won't have it quite yet, probably by the end of October. That would have been good if we had it, but not quite yet. Yeah.
Well, there's other... The Harbor Advisory Board will meet in October. I think they also meet in November. So there'd be plenty of times to present that to one of our public hearings.
Anything else? Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I will move to close the public comment period.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So now it's open for our discussion on what we've learned and what we would want to put forth as our recommendations to staff to take to City Council. Anyone want to step in with your thoughts?
Hey Joe, Mr. Woods, would we right now just want to make a recommendation to go forward with this, to work with the concept plan and the with City Council, you know, on the Coleman Improvement Project, as well as add some of the comments made about the parking and stuff, or would that come later? Right now, we just want to move this forward, basically.
The procedure to accept public art donations would be, do you feel this public art meets the criteria that we've put out here, and staff believes it does, and do you feel that this particular art is appropriate for the site that we talked about? Is it within the concept that was presented back in 08? I think it is. I think the concept's there. They modernized it, and I think that's appropriate. So I think that they haven't gone off the concept. So I think they're right on target. So if you feel you believe in the concept in 08 and you believe in the concept now, and actually it's more than a concept, there are actually some more details. It's the only concept is really is how is it going to be mounted and how is the site prepared to accept it. And I think we get that through the permit and planning stages. And so we'll have to get that. So if you want to, if you're looking to say, yeah, we want this art, pardon me, we want this art, and we're recommending that the city receive the donation, that's great. You can leave it at that. If you want to add in, we're concerned about the parking as part of this project, and we want to see that, then add that on and we'll bring it forward. It's going to be a recommendation to the Planning Commission, the City Council, for them to make the decisions that, yeah, we want to tie this together or not. So you can stand alone or you can add it. Either way, thank you.
Thoughts?
Well, I would recommend that there be some kind of grading with paving or something, because it's going to be so vulnerable out there without it, with all the cars coming and going. It's just going to be a little crazy. So I would recommend, along with what you said, and having that established prior to putting it there. But I love it.
I mean, I wonder, too, if there's a... there could potentially be a scenario where it gets protected more initially until the master plan is totally done. So maybe, you know, again, we're putting in some boulders or whatever that last. I mean, and Mr. Woods, maybe you can comment. I mean, really, in terms of seeing the master plan realized, is this, I mean, that's still years out, right? I mean, we're not talking about, you know, a gap of 6 months. We're talking about a potentially notable a notable time difference between when the sculpture is technically ready and when, you know, when roads get paved and, you know, beautiful spaces get created for the master plan that finally gets approved, correct?
Yes, somewhat correct. I would want to make sure that I gave you the facts that I would know. The council right now, City Council, is interested in the rock parking lot, and so would like to have mentioned that they'd like to get some more feedback on development of the rock parking lot. which would include obviously the Target Rock area and Coleman Park. So we have a concept plan out there that that the parking lot might be tied to, which might expedite the master planning. This particular proposal of public art certainly would expedite the master planning for Target Rock. And so when I, when you say 6 months is not that is far-fetched, I think it actually could start within that period if direction from council was that. The last direction from council that staff received on the concept plan was to thank you very much. Now go back to the other priorities that we have on the books. And we've done that. We've done a lot of deferred maintenance and things like that. So
what I said, what does it look like if it's fairly exposed or open, or what might we, you know, recommend? Are there other thoughts from?
Well, I like, personally, I like, my opinion, I like the idea. I think it's terrific. And I think we can defer the people from driving right up to it by putting natural boulders there or any type of a boulder to stop a vehicle by accident or whatever. I think it's a great idea. And we're going to always have trouble with the parking anyway, so what difference does it make? We'll have the turnabout, yes. That's why I brought up the situation about is, are they going to make it a parking space, you know, like putting the lines in and all that, or is it just going to be open? But this is a great idea. Put boulders in front of it. That should deter them.
Okay. Does anyone want to put forth any other thoughts, or does anyone want to formulate a recommendation that we can...
I have a question relative to the location. Is there a lot of open space there, or are you a lot of boulders on both sides of the roads enough to make road improvement if necessary?
The answer is yes. Part of our one of our designs that came forward from Cal Poly actually realigned the road. So as Coleman Drive comes out towards the rock, it continues closer to the rock and then swerves around to the state park area, would open up the Target Rock area significantly, probably 30, 40, 50 feet more of park space. So a road realignment has certainly been talked about. It's been done at Coleman Park to facilitate the bike path and the pedestrian harbor walk. So I would imagine we want to do something very similar out at the Target Rock area. And the parking may or may not have designated stalls or not. And I would bring the bookend concept of Tylands Park, which was an open, basically dirt area and free for all parking. When we developed that park, there was some hesitation and some conflict from folks who are used to the way it looked, but as it changed. Really was an asset, and the enhancement of Tylands Park to this the Embarcadero has been, you know, priceless. And so I think we're looking at the same kind of a concept on the other end of the Embarcadero at the end of Coleman Drive to kind of match that, to have a bookend in our bay that really gives it some pop and really is a visitor destination. And this particular art, I think, satisfies not only the local desire to have this type of a monument, but also people that are visiting, that are tied to the fishing industry, who just like the fishing industry and enjoy being around it. I think this is really interesting for visitors as well as the locals. I think it's a win-win. So the other site stuff, as far as grading and stuff like that, that naturally that's going to go with the program. To what degree, that's going to be up to council's direction.
Thank you.
Certain. Did I answer your question now?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I'd like to make the recommendation, since this does meet the criteria, that we move forward with it. The recommendation is that they are allowed to go ahead with this.
And I would like to second it.
So do we have any discussion? Does anyone want to add any conditions to that motion? Are we feeling good that the city will take care of the other details?
Right. Would be, well, the permits and all should take care of the details. I mean, there will be certain parameters that they're required to meet. So, correct?
Well, I was thinking of the comments that you made around, you know, recommended but include paving. And I mean, just I'm throwing that out there because we just talked about that. If we want to put any conditions to say, yes, this is a great idea, we want to move forward, we do want the city to, you know, give some thought to making sure that it doesn't get knocked down by a car that, you know, I mean, whatever that might look like.
Mm-hmm. But also to add the modification of grading and parking around the structure until the final concept is ready.
Do you want to put that into a...
Do you want us to rephrase it?
I think what I have here is that the Recreation Parks Commission is recommending the City Council accept the donated public art with concerns of paving and parking around the structure.
Yeah, or grading, paving.
Grading.
You know,
okay.
Maybe grading, parking, and protection of the...
That's fine. Obviously, these issues will be brought up, but as long as they're a concern of yours, we'll bring them forward.
Aye.
Opposed? None.
And just for the record, did I get the motion from John and the second from Drew, or the other
motion
way around?
Motion for me, second.
Motion.
From John.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Item. Yeah. Thank you. Moving on to item C, unfinished business. We have none this evening, so we're going to move on to new business, which is review of the community workshop for the Morro Bay Bicycle Pedestrian Master Plan.
Good evening, Chair and Commission. This item was brought to you by your recommendation that I come back and talk to you a little bit about what's happening with the Bike and Pedestrian Master Plan. I have been asked to sit on a technical advisory board. So there's a handful of us that are basically in the inside giving some direction to John DeNozzo, who is the consultant for this particular project, and the staff member from Public Services. His name's Barry Rands, and he's associate engineer. And both these individuals, in part of developing the pedestrian bike pedestrian master plan, have developed a workshop for public outreach. And just a quick little history about why this is happening is that a lot of the cities, and about all the cities in the county, have developed a pedestrian bike master plan. And through, I want to say it's through SLOCOG, which is the county of governments, there's some funding and some really a push to get bike and pedestrian master plans throughout the county. This enables us, one thing, to identify the needs and the opportunities that we do have and then seek funding for any deficiencies and improvements that we want to make. And without a master plan for your pedestrians and bike, you don't really qualify for grant fundings. And so it's really there's a twofold in why this is happening. I attended the workshop that was, when was that? That was August the 30th. So not too long ago, and we had several presentations, and on the backside of your staff report, I gave you the agenda. And basically what we went through was a series of presentations on just collective thoughts and direction for council, for the public and for this project. My involvement was the citizen involvement. So those who participated in the workshop, as I see it, got to get their word out, and now they're done. Now what happens? How do they stay connected? And right now, you'll know that we presented to you, which is an e-request form. It's now being called a citizen's request form, and that's now been moved from our page. Well, I think we still have it, but now it's on the front page of the city official website. So we made it to page one above the fold. Pretty excited about that. We get about 20 to 30 requests a week. Maybe not that much, maybe like 15 to 20 a week of e-request. And that'll be changing. It's going to be called the Citizens Request Tracker. So when you go on our website, instead of getting a generic email of a requested service, you'll have an option of going streets, police, fire, wherever the category, and have a selected format for your request, whether it's a tree request or it's a nuisance in the neighborhood or something like that. And then those get... When you send them in, they get electronically shipped, sorted to whoever needs to deal with it, and then you as the requestee can stay tied in, and you know what's happening. And if I email it to somebody else or work order it, you get a copy of it. And when it's complete, you get a copy of it. So you really is a good connection between the community and the city. And we rolled it out there in the pedestrian bike path because a bike master plan, because this is where the direction we're going, and people want to stay connected. And the bike path, bike pedestrian master plan, pardon me, is something that we want to stay connected with the community on. So we went through a series of exercises on the tables. We had Commissioner Cooley was present, and if I missed something, please feel free to jump in. But we went through, and what's your biggest, do you bike now? What's your biggest hang-up? Why don't you bike? What make those kind of things, and write down solutions. So we basically developed answers and concerns for the consultant, who is now compiling those. So I don't have any results for you tonight. We had big maps of the city broken down into sections, and everyone got to rotate around and circle and write on the maps, this is a problem area. This works well. This doesn't work. We need signage here and that kind of thing. So that information now is going back to the consultant as well, and they'll be compiling their findings within our bike pedestrian master plan, and hopefully conclusions and some kind of solutions as well. So it's exciting to see this thing get going, and there'll be, I believe, one more public outreach.
And updated.
and the good news is that once it gets completed, and then we can really get together and do something. And it's similar to the pavement management plan. Once you have that plan, now all you need is the funding. When the funding comes in, you can start taking things off the queue. We're starting to do that in various other areas as well.
I liked how participatory it was, and that we had the opportunity to voice our concerns and, you know, literally go around the city and mark off, well, this is a problem area, and we'd love to have this done over here, and that was just really neat. That's cool.
Question on how many, I know the, I filled out the input form, the e-form, right? The feedback form. How many pieces of feedback have been gathered, and is the city still welcoming and encouraging feedback, which is an online form where you can describe, you know, answer some questions and describe what you would like to see in the way of meeting the needs of you and your family as, you know, cyclists in the area and pedestrians, right?
Yeah, I believe the input is still desired. I haven't heard that we're not taking any input right now. I am not right at the cutting edge of what they're doing with this project. The consultant, John DiNozzo, and Barry have been working on this and their findings. But for right now, if someone has questions about getting some input and getting information that they want in, contact Barry Rands at Public Services. And I want to say the number, but I'll give you the generic number for Public Services, which is 772-2661. Ask for Barry Rands. He's our associate engineer. He is the head guy on this project. Even though we've got a consultant, Barry's our contact here, and he'll be able to give you the venue and the materials to get your suggestions and information over to our consultant for the plan. So yes, we're all taking input, and like I said, another little workshop, and it's worth getting out and getting your voice in.
Well, it is a really exciting time, and you know, we have such an opportunity in our community to create a bike-friendly and continue to build our, you know, town up as a recreation-friendly city that invites people to come in, and it's really exciting to see a lot of participation.
Yeah, and it's really a hot topic right now, too, you know, with everything going green, and we're trying to be less reliant on oil and gasoline and, you know, ecotourism and promote everybody getting out of their cars, and it just really makes sense that we do this now.
Any other questions or comments? I think this is informational.
It's informational. Yes, part of my recommendation was, as I had mentioned in the previous element or item, that if you want to consider sending a commissioner or tying a commissioner who's interested in bike and pedestrian master plan to say, hey, you could be our person who kind of is out there keeping an eye on it, seeing how it's developed, and kind of following it along through fruition, if that's a commissioner's interest. And I just wanted to throw it out for the chair to consider.
Yeah, I would like to do that.
Yeah. Great. Anyone else? Sound good? Thank you, Commissioner Crowley. Keep us informed. Sounds great. Okay.
And before we leave the item, I just have one note that I want to make a correction on the phone number that I gave. It was incorrect. So you'll get into the phone circle and you'll get upset. So definitely don't call the number I gave you. The number of public service, 772-6261. I'm a little dyslexic this time of the hour, so I mixed up those two. So it's 6261. Thank you.
Good correction. Someone's going to get a lot of phone calls tonight. Great. Okay, so we'll move on to D2, review of the Morro Bay Advisory Board's handbook and bylaws, as revised by the City Council in August.
Definitely. Good evening, Commission. This item is brought to you for informational only. No action is required. I felt that since your bylaws were changed just recently by City Council, that you'd be abreast of what's happening and informed. In the August 23rd meeting in 2011, Council amended the bylaws, the Advisory Board's handbook and bylaws. And basically what you have is a reduction of your meetings from 12 to 6. And so really the attendance requirements were a bit askew when the number of meetings is only 6. And so basically the amendment was to the section of absence from meetings section in your handbook. And I'll just do a quick read. Absence of any board member from 2 consecutive meetings or 3 meetings in any consecutive 12-month period would constitute a voluntary resignation. And we bring in new people in January, and basically it's a calendar year, those 12 months.
Okay, so we should think about
it. Anybody's, if we're really, really that close, we're going to talk. We'll come in and talk to me, and we'll see how we can work something out, if there's any working out to do. But I just want to make sure you guys are aware of that. And the disclaimer that I need to read is that this is only a single document within the bylaws, the handbook and bylaws. The handbook and bylaws should be considered as one document and should not be separated. So please do not take this out of context. You need to include this in the overall handbook, which is available on our city website. If you don't already have one and you need one, come and see me because you need one. And if you can't download it off the website, I certainly will make a copy available to you. So just know that its entirety is the document that's legal out there. That's my disclaimer from legal counsel.
So far, how are we all doing?
You know, I did not prepare an attendance sheet for you this evening. I had one several months ago. I think we put together when we changed our time to make it more appropriate. But I can certainly, individually, I can, if you want to give my office a call, I can track down your records.
No.
Okay. But, you know, the 2 consecutive is kind of easy, but the 3 in a year might get you. But realize you only meet 6 times, so it's half the time. That's why the council felt it was appropriate. So that concludes my report. Any questions at this time? If not, then we will be looking at the no action on this item.
I just had a comment. Joe mentioned it, but I know when I first came on this commission years ago, there was excused and non-excused. So if you called in, you were okay. But just note that now that's changed, and whether you call in or not, it's an absent. I mean, so wanted to make you aware of that.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to D3, Recreation and Park Department Program Evaluations.
It's the last item, but I think it's the biggest item. And I would throw out the fact that you have one more in your packet that I gave you tonight, which is the Kids Club 2010-2011 program evaluation. I would ask that the commission allow me to go through each program. I will pause at the end, ask for questions, and then I will go on to the next one if those are satisfied, and then asking for an acceptance of these particular program evaluations to be accepted to file. So the first one I'd like to cover was the 2011 Spring Adult Softball Program. And we had, this is April through June, we had three nights of play, three divisions. We had 24 teams. Our direct cost was almost $11,000. The support cost basically is all the registration. Now, I'll explain this one time, and then you'll know that what support costs are in the future programs that we talk about. Indirect costs are the light surcharge. We charge each team $20 for the lights, which is accumulated fund that we can replace light standards and bulbs in the future. Revenues are insurance and registration fees, a little over $11,868. Net loss is a little under $1,000. Cost recovery for this program is 92%. The target on a merit service is 70 to 79%. If we do take out some of the direct indirect cost, the program is still in the 92%. We like the balls that we're using, the CB12, and we have some other recommendations there regarding the softball. Any questions on spring softball, adults? Seeing none, I'm moving on to 2011 Youth T-Ball Coach Pitch Program. We had 44 participants on six teams. The programs were held from April till June. This is boys and girls ranging from 4 to 7 years old. We do always end the season with a potluck barbecue, which is always a hit, so we have recommendations to continue doing that. Your total direct cost, without going into the details, is $2,084. Your indirect cost, which is $1,229 per participant, which is $2,600. You have registration revenues at $2,678. Your net gain, $52.50. Cost recovery, 102%. Again, this is a merit service, which is targeting 70 to 79%. And as staff is progressing through these programs, we're trying more and more to go towards 100%. Though it's not always obtainable, we've come very close, and we've definitely exceeded our merit target of 70 to 79% when we hit 102%. And sometimes we'll hit 102, and I'll just say the disclaimer, maybe next year we'll have to buy some equipment. And next year we end up buying, different T-ball stands and different bats and helmets, and now our cost recovery might be in the 90 percentile. So this year our equipment's holding out, and we're at 102. Junior lifeguard program, you'll see it a little bit later here when I cover that. Any other questions on youth T-ball coach pitch? Seeing none, I'm moving on to program evaluation for 2011 series season of youth futsal, indoor soccer, for those who don't know what futsal is. And this is from March until June is the season. We had 114 boys and girls, age ranging from 5 to 15. The spring break, it was late April, and so we had, and it was a 2-week, so we had a modified schedule, so not as many games as we had last year. We had the big cost here is the gym rental from the school district, and supervising now that we also have to have a person on site to supervise that facility while it's open, part of our agreement with the school district. Our total cost for the program are $6,765 support cost, which is $12.29 per participant now. And that we're looking to do a cost allocation study within the next year. I'm hoping to get some fine-tune on those numbers. Right now, they're rather conservative. And you're looking at total expenses of $8,166. Revenues for the program through registration fees is $8,229. Cost recovery, 100%. Gain of $63. Again, this is futsal at 100% cost recovery, which is really something that we should, be proud of, that our staff is being very efficient and we're still bringing in 114 kids with a quality program. They want to come back. This is a merit service targeted at 70 to 79%. So, again, when you get the merits at 70 to 79, they're hitting 90 to 100% cost recovery. We're doing something right. We may or may not be able to sustain it next year, but I think we come close. Any questions regarding the recommendations or the evaluation for 2011 futsal program? Seeing none, we'll be moving on to the next program, which is unlike the others. This is a 100% cost recovery program, so we're expected to make a profit here. This is the 2011 Brian Waterbury Memorial Rock to Pier Run. which is an incredible run. 42 times we've held this run. It was held July the 16th because of the tide. We had ages from 7 to 77, which is great. We had 1,114 participants in the program, which is, for the amount of volunteer staff that we have, it's incredible. Because when you look at the earlier in the year, it was Miracle Miles, which is the family network, care network. They put on this same run for like 2,000 runners, and it is a lot more intense as far as volunteers and organizations helping out with that. We're very limited. We've got a handful of volunteers that come out, and we pull together, 1,100, 1,200 runners, which is, and they all have a great time. We had eternal timing from past arrivals, and part of our improved service was to mandate that they service the times on the finish line as opposed to leaving when the last runner crosses the finish line. So they had a crew at the Rock, and we were posting all the results. So all the results, to include the 1,114th person, got on the board. Of course, after they had breakfast from the Shoreline Calvary Chapel, and those folks and volunteer and come out, they do a great job with breakfast. This is our third year having breakfast out there, and it's just nothing but a positive spin on our program. We added a third bus this year, which was essential to keep the loop of runners coming back to the Rock, and that was essential. And like I said, hopefully a majority of people stayed in town. And I think that it wasn't our sole purpose to. It's not a double event, a two-day event, but we certainly bring in quite a few runners. The overall winner was from Arroyo Grande. The guy was 27, Jameson Mora. His run was 31 minutes and 39 seconds. And the female winner was Linda Smith, age 50, from Arroyo Grande, age 50. I wanted to say that because the 35-minute run is incredibly fast. And from what I understand, I think I just read an article about her in Runner's Magazine. She's qualified for the Olympic Marathon, I think, 7 times. So I'll say on a side note, female running in this county has just exploded. And to have this kind of competition at ages 50 to 55, and it just keeps getting tougher and tougher as the females get older because they're just such terrific runners and really dedicated. So you see a lot more of that happening. So it's exciting to have that kind of draw on a Rock to Pier run from us. Down to the essentials, total expenses, $23,837. Revenues came from race day and pre-registration. They totaled $31,733. We had a sponsorship of $200. Our net profit was $8,000. Mm-hmm. Do we have Labor Day in here? If we have Labor Day in here... There have been so many of these, and you said we have quite a few.
Maybe was that the last one?
No, Labor Day just happens. We weren't ready for that. So you know what? If you hang on to that number mentally and know that this Rock to Pier was at 134%, and when we bring that into your next meeting, we can do a little comparison for you. Any other questions on the Rock to Pier run? We are looking to do some things different next year, and I'm entertaining the thought of a half marathon, just to let you know, that we could take Brian Waterbury, the way he used to run it, as I understand, is he'd go to the Rock to Pier, and then he'd come back home, and he wasn't taking the bus. And so we have other runners out there that are doing that now. A lot of folks are training for half marathons. It's a great run in July to prepare for half marathons either in August or in September. So it's been really good. I'd like to map it out and do the mileage and see if we can keep it all on the beach or not. And it might be a squeeze, but we are looking into that. No promises, but that's certainly the direction I'd like to take this, because we have all the groundwork there right now. And to add it would just be a couple more aid stations, amend our timing, and put more sausages and eggs on the grill. That's how I see it. So hopefully I'll keep you posted on how that goes. Any other questions on the run? If not, I'll move on. 2011 Coast Girls Softball. This particular softball season was February through June, and we had 11 teams. Their ages from 6 to 14. And again, this is the communities from Los Osos, Morro Bay and Cayucas, and Cambria. So we Estero Bay extended. And we played teams from San Luis, Atascadero, Napomo, and Five Cities. So these girls get around, and their families get around. And we had local sponsors, Dent Pro, Calendarwood Construction. There's a list here of more. We had a good sponsorship this year on our teams. We did have a closure at Kaiser this year, which was unfortunate because of a delay in getting some fields renovated. And we had our opening day over at Sunnyside Elementary in Los Osos. And our closing ceremonies did come back here May the 9th at Lila Kaiser. All the teams did really well in the All-Star season. And we had ASA, which is the American Softball Association, C Division All-Stars, came home several first-place trophies. So the girls are out there doing some local tournaments and winning local tournaments. And when you recall, we had the girls' summer softball slam, which is the beginning of the summer, which is our softball tournament. We had the most, I think it was 28 or 29 girls' teams in our tournament, which is the biggest tournament that we had, that was in a county this year. Where other cities, surrounding cities, were not doing the tournaments, we threw ours together, and we had three different sites, if you recall. So these softball tournaments are big. We like to have our season really go well. This one really well. Like I said, 29 teams for the girls' softball slam. Here's your cost analysis, the numbers you were waiting for. Expenses to include the cost allocation and indirect cost of the light surcharge is $18,753. Revenues were feed registration fees, sponsors, and we sold sweatshirts as well. We made $1,100 on sweatshirt sales, and total revenues at $16,260. That was a net loss of about $2,500. Cost recovery 87%. And this was the merit program again at 70 to 79%. Cost recovery was our target. We had 87, and we're always pushing for a little bit more. But no, that's not a tournament. This was the our league play. Any questions on the girls' softball league? I should note that at the bottom of page 3 and in the page 4, you do have some numbers for the girls' summer slam softball tournament, where you had expenses of $9,661. Your total revenues, which included registration, snack bar, T-shirt, and helmet sales, basically it's a percentage of that concessionaire. He'll sell T-shirts and helmets that are they're airbrushed and painted on site. And he basically has 20% of his gross comes to the city at $410. So all your revenues come up to $12,845. This program has gained $3,184 to be placed in the girls' youth sports trust fund. So that money gets cycled back into that program. But that, again, is 100% cost recovery. Again, a gain of a little over $3,100. So There's some funds that aren't commingled in the general fund that are really program specific, and we're fortunate to have that revolving account that stays in there. And like I said, we need to bump up the equipment. We have a little bit in here that doesn't affect the operating budget that council has approved.
Okay, thank you,
sir. Any other questions? Then I will move on. I know we're getting close. I've got two more to go, and I appreciate your patience with me. This program is 2011 Rock Morro Rock Beach Camp. We had 52 participants in 4 one-week camps. So we had between spring break and August, we had the morning camps were open to boys and girls ages from 9 to 17. We did see an increase from the previous spring break, about 25%. Jump and we had additional in June summer camp, so we had good participation for a new program. We had some cost that went along with this, and basically rash guards, some screen printing, some snacks, and what go along with beach camp costs of about a little over $400. We have staff costs that went along with beach camp, and these were basically staff that was doing the junior lifeguard program, and we would scale it back to have a particular ratio for the number of kids we had at beach camp. And it's an alternative for families to send their kids in. It's not a lot of pressure. As far as junior lifeguard program, there's an agenda. There is something that we need to accomplish. It's a physical, it is mental, and there's a challenge. At beach camp is a little more relaxed. Kids that go there, participate, are able to really enjoy the beach, get a sense of education from our instructors about dunes and about tides and about the ocean and wildlife. And so it's a combination of fun and education. And it's been well received. Indirect costs were at $45.36. Revenues were a little over $5,000. Expenses over revenues, we gained $514. So it's cost recovery of $111. And basically, a camp needs to be 100% cost recovery. And when I have new programs that come to me through staff's ideas, I definitely question the 100% cost recovery. And can we sustain that during this program? And those are some things we take very seriously. And Beach Camp has promised me that, and they have delivered. And we certainly are looking forward to doing Beach Camps next year as well. Any questions you might have for me regarding Beach Camp? Okay. And the last program I have for your evaluation review is the Kids Club 2010-2011. So we had Beach Camp started. Kids Camp is in the summer. This is the school year. So it was the previous school year. We have outlined program costs for you, everywhere from staffing down to our utilities and phone costs. We have labeled our tuition revenues there. So our program costs for the year, $142,539. Tuition revenues were just under $125,000. Our gross revenues were exceeded by cost by a little under $18,000. The cost recovery for this program for the school year now is 87% cost recovery. This is a merit service category, which is a target of 70 to 79% cost recovery. We've exceeded that by at least 10%. We've calculated out here the maximum capacity of 50 children for the program, and you'll note that there are cost allocations associated with them, $17.08, which include registration, flyer dissemination, prepping of classes and staff and so forth is all included. And that cost allocation is at $32,000, which would add to your total program cost and bringing it up to $174,000, about $175,000. So your net loss would be about $50,000. You're still within your 70 to 79% cost recovery at 71%. On the back side, there's a quick summary of things that we have I've been tied to. And this is more than a child care program or babysitting that I've heard in the past. But basically what you have here is a before and after school enrichment opportunity. And I emphasize that not to be, you know, book terms at you, but basically there's more than just watching your child like you would at home. There's instructors and leaders that have prepared lesson plans for every activity, and very similar to a curricular teacher that would have a lesson plan for math or science, we have them for activities. And it might be a cultural enriching activity. It might be one that would help them work on motor skills or artwork. It varies, and staff takes it very serious. And fire safety and fire trucks through the fire department, which is always a good connection with fire safety. I think that's key. And little things that, you know, we did when we were kids, we still keep those alive because those are still important. They really are. Dr. Seuss Day, Recycle Day, Earth Day, Arbor Day, and not a big finale, but the Mermaid Pirate Parade is always a big one. And Kids Club loves to get together, and a lot of the staff go out there and dress up, and they bring a herd of kids, which is really cool. So those are some of our the conclusions and some of the things that we had did this last go-around. Note that we offer online registration for kids club and kids camp, and there is a discount associated with registering online, so we are encouraging people to do that. And I won't beat a dead horse, but we had talked about the cost allocations, and they diminish significantly when someone's registering themselves online. So the numbers you see at $17 and some change per participant really is a high number when your family registers online and we don't have the support staff obligated to handle the paperwork. So there is still some of it we shuffle around, but it gets expedited when we have online registration. So know that your cost recoveries are going to be higher as those cost allocation numbers drop. Any questions that you might have regarding the last and final program evaluation? And if there are not, I'd be looking for a motion to accept all the program evaluations for file.
Motion to accept D3 for file.
I'd second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None.
Aye.
Moving on to item E, declaration of future agenda items. Any topics that anyone wants to bring forth? Okay. Then can I get a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
I second
it.
Aye.
So much enthusiasm.
Too much enthusiasm.
And thank you, Joe, and your staff for making Morro Bay a cool place to be, even if you're not a kid anymore, just a kid at heart.
Yes. Yeah. All in favor? I don't think we got a final.
Aye.
Aye. A good old pirate aye.
Aye. All right.
Aye. Thank you. Adjourned.
Thank you.
Joe, did you want these?